twin sons of different mothers. What prompted that project with Tim Weisberg?
That was just a real comfortable project because I met Tim working on Netherlands. He worked on Beyond, what is that song? That Bossa Nova song. I can't remember what it is. But he came in and did the flutes on that, and we hit it off real well. He had my records, I had his. We had mutual respect for one another as artists, and probably the biggest respect for melody. And so we wanted to do an instrumental record that was really melodic, because most of the stuff that's jazz-oriented or anything along those lines are, you know, two sides of improvisation. And we put enough of that on there, because we both like to do that, but... Also, I was at the point where I wanted to establish myself. It says very clearly on the record as a composer and as an instrumentalist. Because actually, you know, before I did these records, I was playing sessions in Nashville, a guitarist, you know, before I was known as a singer-songwriter. So I wanted to do that and get out of being just the sensitive singer-songwriter. I wanted people to accept me as a good guitarist, as an instrumentalist. And it was the perfect place for it, you know, working with Tim.
One of the things that strikes me, not only about The Innocent Age, but in particular the Twin Sons album, is that Dan Fogelberg's waiting around, walking in the hospital lobby with the cigars before these things come out. It's almost like there is... You're nervous about this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're never sure it's going to be a success.
No. No, never. I always am dubious about the outcome of these projects. The Twin Sons especially. I mean, even people in the business were saying... Oh, yeah? You're going to do that? Okay, fine, sure. And I myself thought, well, believe it or not, consciously after Netherlands, I thought I'd gotten a little too successful. I'd reached a little too much. I didn't want it to be that visible, right? So I wanted to do a project that then kind of threw the spotlight away from me for a little while. And ironically, as it turned out, it was the biggest record of my career to that point, you know? Caught us all off guard.
The song that... I never thought anybody would resurrect, but that I'm glad
Since
someone did,
asked.
Is Since You've Asked.
Bear me.
From
what
Beauty
a song.
Collins.
I love that song.
She's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And not
she doesn't write often, but boy, when she writes beautiful ones.
Oh,
you
sure.
know the child, Private Gardens of the Heart, that
right.
song?
My Father.
Oh.
Incredible song. But Since You've Asked, it's almost, I guess you're like me and anyone else who, when we really like someone, be it Dan Fogelberg or Judy Collins, we think, you can't redo that. So you must have had a little bit of ambivalence about even trying it.
Yeah, but I knew it felt like a song that was close to me. I wouldn't do that with many songs, you know. But it just felt real close to me. I loved the song always. I used to sing it, you know, when I was in college. And I don't know, I talked to Judy about it, you know, and I changed lyrics in it, too, because I took it away from kind of the dated idea of turning time into hour and flowers and all that, you know, which is kind of 60-ish. And I also wanted to make it more male. And so I changed the whole second verse. And she was real nice about it. She said, sure, I like those changes. Go ahead. You know. I haven't talked to her since the album came out. I hope she liked it.
What I'll give you since you asked is all my time together. Take the ragged sunny day. The warm and rocky weather. Take the road that I have walked along.
you spoke about back in college. Maybe this is a good time to find out when it began to happen for you that you knew your life was going to take this turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happened on, I think it was March 14th, 1970 was the night. No, actually, I was doing a lot of things since even high school. I mean, I was playing in bands before high school, even. You know, my first band I was in at 14. And we were playing just Beatles. It was great, you know. These poor little children out there playing Beatles songs.
Had to be four.
At Metamora, you know, VFW Hall and stuff. You know, it was great. And then the second band I got in was much heavier than that. We started doing Springfield and West Coast stuff. Mm-hmm. I know I'm talking to the couch for some reason over here. Must be something about that we're not going to get into. But once I got through the bands, somewhere about my junior year in high school, I was actually painting. I was more serious about being a painter, about being a visual artist, than I was about being a musician.
Really?
Yeah, and I went to college as a theater major, actually. I enrolled as a theater major because I'd done a lot of theater in high school, too, and loved it dearly. But after about 3 weeks of it, I said, no, I should be painting. So I changed to the School of Fine Arts, right, as a painter. And for those 2 years in college, I was constantly singing and writing and playing in coffee houses and stuff. And there was a wonderful, wonderful scene in Champaign, Illinois then, which is just starting to become, people are becoming aware of it, what was going on down there. With REO happening so big this year, and Mike McDonald, who was down there, it happened huge, and my things happened, and this band Champaign just had a hit record. Those are all bands from Champaign in the old days. You know, those are all Irving's acts, Irving Azoff acts, and it's amazing to see all that finally surface 10 years later.
Back in 1970. I mean, it was not uncommon to have singer-songwriters emulating the new Sweet Baby James. The whole thing that was happening then encouraged so many of us to pick up that first Martin or that first guitar.
No, but I kind of got away from this, but my junior year in high school, my real introverted self started coming out. I mean, it really started taking over on me. Therefore, I gave up my electric guitars and sat out in this bluff on the Eleanor and sang Gordon Lightfoot songs for 2 years, you know. So I was really an old folky, believe it or not, before the Sweet Baby Jameses and that stuff came out, and the Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But when I got there, I decided after 2 years that I was becoming so successful musically at the university and in the state that I had to make a decision at some point. I couldn't just do all these and keep doing them. I had to concentrate on one and take it as far as I could. And music, at that point, was uppermost in my consciousness. It also looked like the best way to make a living. You know, coming out of college with a degree in fine arts and painting, you know, isn't worth much anymore.
To go back to the guy on the banks of the river
singing that little kid
Gordon Lightfoot songs, did that guy ever imagine that people would be going to music stores, buying sheet music of your lyrics, going home and practicing the chords? I mean, this is a big thing. Is there a strangeness to having sheet music out there on Dan Fogelberg?
No, that's very satisfying for me because, see, the way I grew up was my dad was a musician. And so I learned from sheet music, you know. And to me, before records were a big thing, sheet music was the big thing, right? And for me to have sheet music with my music out, I mean, that to me is legitimate. It still feels legitimate, you know. The records don't.
Why don't the records?
I don't know. It's just the transitoriness of this business, I guess. I just don't think people take it seriously enough. For some, it's just my thing, you know. They definitely are better statements than the real thing. But, again, my upbringing made me think that real legitimate music is written, not heard.
If records aren't really it, what kind of legacy, what kind of permanence would you like? I mean, a record does warp after a while.
Right, that's what I mean, you know.
But even this one, maybe. But really, what?
It's pretty already.
What would you like to? What would you like to leave? What would you most like to leave if there were?
I'd like to leave some pieces of instrumental music that people will play 100 years from now. And I haven't started doing that yet.
More than even what you've given so far?
And longer.
And longer?
Yeah.
Longer's still the fave, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not my best song either. It's just a classic love song. And every songwriter always dreams of writing a classic love song that'll be up there with, you know, with the Cole Porter songs and Yesterday and that stuff, you know. That, you know, that's the stuff that's going to last. You know, people are going to play that at weddings. They're going to sing it to each other and mean it, you know, for a long time. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
This is Longer and It Is Wonderful. Dan Fogelberg, we'll be back to talk some more.
Longer than there've been fishes in the ocean, higher than any bird ever flew, longer than there've been stars up in the heavens, I've been in love. Stronger than any mountain cathedral, truer than any tree ever grew, deeper than any forest I knew. I am in love with you. I'll bring fire in the winter, you'll send showers in the spring, we'll fly through the fog and flutter with love on our wings. Through the years, as the fire starts to mellow, burning lines in the book of our lives, though the binding cracks and the pages start to yellow, I'll be in love with you. I'll be in love with you. Longer than there's been stars up in the heavens, I've been in love with you. I am in love with you.
Back again. You're looking forward to this tour, and you're out with Innocent Age, nursing it up the charts, as it were, with a lot of strong material on it. Okay, you've gone this far, and you've done this, and you said yourself that Netherlands and this one, that rare moment when an artist really digs down and comes up with it, that's the important thing. What now? Will the next one be Lightweight, Dan Fogelberg?
Probably. Probably. I'm looking at a lot of options for the next album. I've been writing a lot of country music, again. More like what was on Souvenirs, but I mean more country than that. I've written a song for Emmylou Harris, which I'd love her to sing. I've written some bluegrass material again, which I haven't written in years. And I'm having a good time doing that. I'm listening to like Emmylou's records and Don Williams. I love Don Williams' records. And old Ralph Stanley and Bill Monroe. So that may come out. I don't know. The other option I'm looking at is to take this band into the studio and make a kick-ass rock and roll album, which I haven't done before. And really take that side of me this time around, you know.
What about covers? Would you do an album of covers? Would you consider
that? Yeah, I've thought about that too. I'd love to do that sometime, but I just don't think people are going to sit still for that because they expect me to write. They expect to get something, you know, expression, whole, meaningful from each one of my records. And I'd love to do that, to go back and do some of the old Gordon Lightfoot songs and the songs that I love, you know, and rework some of those. I'd love to do that. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I've got another massive undertaking already underway.
The Innocent Age.
Yeah. Weirder than that. Innocent Age isn't weird.
You've got another one right now underway?
I've always got about four albums in my head.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, actually, The Innocent Age wasn't supposed to happen for another two albums.
I see a lot of...
I was going to do two other things before it, and it just took over my consciousness. I couldn't not do it.
Does it get to where you can't sleep or something? And
it's just in you
and you got to get it out?
Oh, yeah.
And also, what's that period of time like when the album is finished but it's nowhere near out yet?
Yeah, that's a weird period. That's limbo, boy. Because you got it done and you know it's in the can and it's all finished and you can't touch it again. And you're so insecure because you listen to it at home and say, oh, God, did I do that right? I could have done that better. Let me call Marty and we'll go back in the studio and we'll remix it one more time. And you can't. At some point, you just have to stop and put it out. You know, yeah, that's weird. It's such a relief the first day it's released, because then I can't touch it. You know, it's like when your kid's on stage, you know. You can't do anything for them. They're on their own.
I thank you for talking to us, Dan Fogelberg, and I wish you luck with the tour, but you obviously won't need it. You've got it all in the bag. It's just great, and I hope that we get to hear a lot more music soon, but this one's going to take a while to absorb.
It's going to take me a while to rest, too.
Well, good luck, Dan, and thank you.
Thanks.
Flounder drifting.